Thanks for tuning into Upward Way Podcast. If you're looking to be spiritually blessed, moved, and inspired, there is no doubt you are in the right place. On our show, guests recount their encounter with Christ and how their lives have been transformed through the grace and love of God. And now, please welcome our host.
Hello and welcome to Upward Way. I am your host, Marlon Walters. My guest today is a gospel recording artist, Dimas Cortez. Welcome to Upward Way.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. It's a pleasure to be here. Thanks.
The pleasure is mine just the same. And I know that as the listeners tune in, that they will really enjoy listening to your story. So first up, Dimas, I know you're a gospel recording artist, and we will get down into that in a bit. But I just wanted to give me a little background about who is Dimas Cortez, maybe where you grew up, a little about your family, and then we'll take it from there.
Yeah, so I was born in Los Angeles, California, and I'm actually the youngest of five. We have a pretty good amount of you know, brothers and sisters and family members, but I did want to say that I came to live to Pennsylvania when I was about 13, 14 years old. I didn't grow up in the church, but my sister started going to the church, and then I started getting into the faith. And then that's kind of like how I started getting into the music. And so like the rest is history, but we'll talk more about that. But currently I'm working in the medical field, but as long with doing songwriting and singing and recording. So it's an interesting journey. Because sometimes I'm able to use like music as therapy, and then so like bounce back and forth from both, you know.
Sounds awesome. So in terms of the, you know, early years, what was it like, let's say, you know, family or community?
I think a lot of the early years, my father, he was very absent in my life. So he dealt with a lot of alcoholism. And so I think that that had played a big role in my life, where there was a time in my life where I was going down like a really rebellious path. And I was just trying to find myself, you know, just trying to find direction. And I guess I was just doing anything and everything that I could, you know, like until someone from the church actually took me under their wings. It was one of our youth pastors. And then he started like guiding me and directing me. But during the earlier years, I have to say that it was a little tough. You know, we had our moments. Basically, I grew up with a single mother because my dad would always be in and out of the hospital because he also dealt with mental health disorders. So it was a little difficult for me. My father started getting sick when I was born because I'm the youngest. So like at that time, he started getting more sick, started getting more into alcohol. So I didn't really have him around in my life, but most recently I have been able to be with him for an extended period of time. And I feel like God has just really restored something in me for him, and just being able to open up to him. It's just been a beautiful journey, but it's not easy. But I know that with every valley, there's a mountaintop. So, right?
Yes, I really appreciate the fact you said it's not easy. And, you know, it's important to highlight that because sometimes when others look at your successes, they will think, oh, your life was easy. You had a gold spoon being fed to you. But all of us, we experience challenges that we have to overcome. So I want you to transition a little into, you know, those early beginnings in the faith. You did mention that a youth pastor was the one who, you know, introduced you. And then later on, we'll get into music and all of that.
Yeah. So the early years, I was still going bouncing back and forth. It was hard for me to let go of my friends that were doing, you know, not spiritual things. And so it was hard for me to transition out of that because it's all I knew. Like it's all I knew. I was, you know, 13, 14 years old. I was running the streets on my own, and my parents wanted me to, my mother and my sister, they wanted to put me in a home because I was so rebellious. There were times where I was caught shoplifting, like just so many like crazy stories. But, you know, it's so beautiful how God turned me, this broken vessel, you know, and now, you know, he's receiving the glory from even my work, from my hands and my voice. So the early years was the transitioning into the church. was so much easier because I had a mentor. I had a youth pastor. Unfortunately, like about 3 or 4 years ago, him and his wife, they died in a tragic accident. And that really hit me hard because he was a spiritual father to me and he was a father that I never had. So like, not only was he, you know, I feel like that the impact of his death, like really, really pushed me forward to like be more passionate about my music. Because I always told him, like, you know, I want to record, I want to write my own music, I want to put it out, but I never really believed in myself. And he was the one that was really pushing me to go forth and like, just do it. And I said, just do it, you know, cause as a child, I never had like any confidence instilled in me because of the lack of my father. You know, I was always trying to find that void or like try to fill in other things. But, you know, sometimes it's difficult because, you know, a lot of studies say that the way that we view our earthly father is how we view our heavenly father. And so it was very hard for me to assimilate into the church and accept the love of God from, you know, a male like Jesus Christ figure that is portrayed to me. And I'm thinking, well, I never had a father. So how do you receive that love from another man? And my youth pastor helped me just to understand the love and grace and mercy of God and just to give my life over completely to Jesus Christ.
Well, first up, let me just convey my condolences to you on that loss. I can't imagine what it's like. But in the same breath, you know, I just want to say, you know, thank God for godly mentors who can be there
yes.
to provide that kind of moral support. And I know the support would have been more than that, of course. So, So your transition into music, you said, you know, at first you didn't have the confidence, but today you're a gospel recording artist. Yeah. So, you know, how did that transition come about?
So it all started with about 3 or 4 years ago, I started putting out music. So about three or four years ago, I put out my first single. And it all started with my friend. I was telling him, because his name is Landry Cantrell. He's more of a mainstream artist, recording artist now. I had him come over to do like a choir clinic at our church. And I was telling him, oh, I have some songs that I've been writing. And then I was just showing some stuff. And he was like, hey, you know, we should try to record, you know, we should record sometime. But honestly, at that time, I was like recuperating from like the loss of my youth pastor. And then just kind of like, still dealing with a lot of things, you know, personal, like from when I was young. And so like a lot of healing was happening, but instilling, you know, having somebody and like say, push me like, oh, I want to help you record this. I feel like God was just opening the door to, he was like, okay, this is your time to do it. And just remembering my youth pastor, he would always say to me, you know, we would have our conversations and he said, you know, Demas, if you're the only person that I would ever have impacted in my life, you would have been worth it, you know, and just things like that have just really given me a lot of understanding of love and grace and mercy. And so with that, like, you know, I was picking up my pieces here and there and just picking up the confidence in Christ. And, you know, I just put it out there and people ended up liking it. So I just continued to doing it more and more and more. And I guess now I'm in it full deep and then there's no going back. So it's kind of like this short story.
That's really awesome. So you see, God really, you know, as you say, provides. So you are dealing with a loss, you know, from a tragedy. And while coming to grips, you know, a friend was able to come on board. So this next question speaks to, you know, support, you know, moral support. How valuable is moral support in our lives? And especially when, you know, you're a young male and another young male can provide that kind of moral support, you know, how valuable is that to, I mean, like I said, to anyone, but particularly in your case as a young male getting moral support from another young male?
You know, I think it's really important because not only are you getting support, but then you're also getting accountability, that piece of accountability, you know, just being able to share, you know, struggles, pray for each other. And I think it's so important because as humans, we want connection and there's, you know, that social aspect of humanity. And I think that once you're able to find somebody that you're able to just be completely honest and open with and share struggles, it really puts you at a different place in life, because now, you know, you're bearing each other's burdens, like the Bible says, you know, bear one another's burdens. And I mean, obviously it's biblical, you know, to bear one another's burdens and pray one for another in any time where we may be sick, that we need healing. But the thing is, the beautiful thing about it is that God knows what we need. And he even said in the Bible, bear one another's burdens. So like being able to have someone that you're able to be accountable with, you know, share struggles and just challenge you spiritually is just so important. Because I think that support comes with, like, you know, people speaking into your life saying, hey, you might want to fix this or get rid of that or consider this. So it's so important.
In terms of what you produce as music, I mean, this question is something you may have been asked, you know, several times, but, you know, who or what is the inspiration behind what you produce? I know we could say, you know, it's God, the Holy Spirit, but how do you get your inspiration for the music that you produce?
A lot of the inspiration, you know, aside from the Holy Spirit and the Lord just speaking to me, a lot of the inspiration comes from like hard trials, like tests and hard moments, you know, just like David in the Bible. He had some of his best psalms, you know, when he was repenting after, you know, sinning with Bathsheba, or, you know, after all that whole issue happened with him, you know. So like some of the best psalms and songs come from the hardest trials. And, you know, and that's why I think that every song that is born from a trial can impact an audience more, because there is such a relatability with it, because so many people go through so many situations. And I think that a lot of my songs, when I look back or like just see like the theme of my songs, I'm like, okay, that moment, that song was from this moment. Like, for example, like the first song that I've ever put out is called Break the Night. So in that moment, I was like in a place of desperation. I was like, God, I want to do something different. Like, I want to break out of like where I've always been in the same rut or the same struggle. And then I, you know, break it. And then so like as I put the song out, it's called Break the Night. Like I was declaring by faith. I was like, I'm going to break, you know, you're going to break through my night, you know. So it's like, so like the situations in my life and the trials are a huge inspiration to what, you know, to what songs I'm writing or producing or putting out.
Or experiences, you know, are important to put in words to share, you know, what God has done. So in essence, your songs are kind of like personal testimonies, kind of like, yeah, what you're doing here at the, yeah, moment. I'm going to move a little bit from music, then I'll come back to it, because yeah, I did introduce you as, you know, a Christian gospel recording artist, but full-time, you know, you work as a nurse practitioner. So I wanted to tell me a little about, you know, this aspect of your life, you know, working as in the medical field, you know, providing healing to others. And, you know, what is that like? And then I will try to bridge it to say, you know, how do you connect the dots? So just a little about, you know, what is that like for you as a healthcare professional?
Yeah, you know, it's been interesting, because at the same time, even though I'm using my own life to write songs, like when I'm encountering stories of an individual who had cancer and then, you know, that they're cancer free or they're in remission, you know, I feel like some of those stories have also inspired me for songwriting. But I work for a clinic called Berks Community Health Center. It's an underserved community. And I work in a city where we provide, in the clinic where we provide healthcare to undocumented immigrants, non-insured. So we accept all types of insurance. And so it's really amazing to be able to help those individuals, because I want to provide the best care that I can for them. And I think that in my heart, with the love that I have for people, you know, and it's all through God, because I used to be so hateful. God gave me all that love, and, you know, I'm just pouring this love into these people. And it's interesting, because I have patients that fight to to see me. They're like, no, I don't want to see anyone else but Demas. And so people refuse to be seen until I come back. For example, if I go on vacation or like I'm out, then they're willing to wait. They could be dying, but they're willing to wait to see me. And you know, that speaks a lot of Christianity, because, or, you know, the presence of God within us, because when we're able to truly not only love people, but allow God to flow through us so that people can experience that love, it truly changes the atmosphere, even the influence that you have on this, on every person. So I'm so thankful to be able to intertwine the two things. And there's been times, you know, even while I'm with patients where they've had hard times, where, you know, they had death in family, and they're like weeping and crying out. And I just start praying for them. Like I hug them. I pray over them. I've been to viewings of some of the patients that had passed away because they were sickly. I've been with family members, and they've always said, man, I can just tell that you truly love people. And in my head, I'm thinking, if you only knew where I was, you know, if you only knew who I was, you know, it's all because of God, you know. And it's so thankful. I guess, you know, when you live your life as a Christian, everything that you do is influenced by the Spirit of God. And I think that's the biggest thing. So it's hard to, I have to be honest with you, it's overwhelming. And there is a lot of people that have a lot of problems. But, you know, little by little, as I walk into the clinic, I'm like, God, help me today. Help me today to like see things that no one sees. Help me to treat and to love these people as you would. So it's a really interesting journey. But I work at the clinic for 40 hours a week. And then I'm doing more like this recording artistry as a part-time.
What do I say? It's not every day you hear someone saying, you know, patients are willing to delay their treatment just to ensure that this is the staff member who attends to them. So it must be that your presence does suggest something. You have shared a bit. So, you know, how do you really merge the two? Because it's almost as if, you know, they are on two opposite ends of the spectrum. Yeah. You know? So how do you combine both? do you find yourself conflicted at times? And I know you are saying music is more part-time in a sense. Working at the clinic, it's, you know, full-time because of the 40 hours. But how do you merge, you know, and that kind of thing?
You know, on paper, I guess it would say like I'm full-time as a nurse practitioner and part-time. But honestly, like I try to live my life completely as a worshiper. And even in the moments at work, you know, like I've never, you know, there's some times where I've never told my coworkers that I'm a Christian, but they're always come up to me and they're willing to open up to their struggles. So I think, you know, we're, you know, how the Bible says that we're epistles read by every man, you know. And if we live our life, you know, according to our morals and standards, people will know who you represent without knowing, you know, like, it's kind of like, oh, I've never told them that I don't do this or that. And they're like already assuming. And I think it's because of the presence that we carry with the Spirit of God. And it's so powerful because, you know, when I'm merging the two, the music and the health, I think that music itself can bring healing. A lot of times, you know, to people, you know, like a song may bring you back to a moment in time where you had a breakthrough in the presence of the Lord, or a moment in time where there was like a hardship and you needed to hear a song about faith. So, you know what, it's interesting because even though it may seem like on the opposite spectrums, like music has a huge part of our emotions, and emotions have a huge part in our healing. And it's so important that, you know, like getting treatment for depression, anxiety, whatever mental disorder it may be, because, you know, there's so many other problems that have stemmed from anxiety, depression, like irritable bowel syndrome. And if anxiety isn't, depression is not treating. So I guess it's intertwined because music can affect our emotions and our emotions can affect our health. It's so awesome to be able to be part of both aspects, you know, like I'm putting out music that is helping people get through hard times or giving faith and inspiration so that they can alleviate problems that may come from like uncontrolled anxiety or depression. So I guess in my mind, that's how kind of it works. I'm not sure if that makes sense, though.
Yes, for me, it does make sense. You know, just listening to you talk about, you know, this therapeutic nature, It brings to mind maybe a line of one of his songs by Bob Marley, where he says, "One good thing about music, when it hits, you feel no pain." So we realize that it has that ability to cause,
yes,
you know, your worries and everything to just dissipate. So I can understand it being therapy from that standpoint. Continuing on the idea of impact, you know, music hitting you feel no pain, but in terms of the impact of your music, both on your life and that of your audience, you have shared a bit about your own personal experience, but how would you gauge the impact of your music on those you have ministered to in the past? Because I know you also, you're like the worship leader at your church. So it's not just, let's say, your original songs, but even your musical ministry just by, you know, being a worship leader. So how has that impacted your audience?
It's been really awesome, honestly, because recently I put out a single called Come Holy Spirit, where I was able to intertwine our church within the song. Because usually I was doing like solo artistry driven music, so more like radio music, but then I started switching over to like more worship music. And then I was able to use our church choir. And the thing that is really beautiful about that is that even when we were practicing the songs, people would like break out in prayer, or, you know, they'd break out in tears or like crying out to God, just because, you know, they could feel the weight of the presence of God. Because when I wrote, for example, the song Come Holy Spirit, I was in a moment of prayer, and I was in a place of desperation. I was like, God, I need you. I want you. I want more of you. I want more of your presence. And like in that session of prayer, like the Lord just moved upon me, and I started singing, "Come Holy Spirit, Lord, have your way. Come Holy Spirit, move in this place." And it's literally a prayer that I was praying out to God. And as we were practicing for like the recording and the music videos and stuff, the Lord would just kind of move into our practices, and like I would just see people just being touched and ministered to. And so many people have told me that they feel that the song, they use it in their prayer time, that the song has ministered to them, has helped them to get through hard times or like get deeper relationship with God. So it's really awesome to be part of that, you know, to be the mouthpiece of God. You know, I always prayed, God, like, help me to write songs that come from your heart, you know, songs that will minister to people and change lives.
Come Holy Spirit. That's a beautiful title. And yeah, for a while I paused because I was, you know, looking at the lyrics of the song. And I'll just quote, you know, for the sake of the audience, maybe the one or two lines. Come Holy Spirit, Lord, have your way. Come Holy Spirit, move in this place. Come Holy Spirit, Lord, have your way. That's a chorus. So the verse, fill us up with your fire like a mighty rushing wind. You're the one we desire. Turn our hearts again. So this song is inviting God's Holy Spirit to take control. And it's a reminder that, you know, we are basically nothing without God's God filling us with his presence. So it's a beautiful song, and I know the audience will truly enjoy as they listen to this wonderful song. Now, what would you say is your favorite part about, you know, sharing the gospel through music? What is your favorite part? And also, what would you say is your least favorite part?
Mm-hmm. I think my favorite part is like being able to be part of the process, recording and putting out the song, and then just seeing how people respond to it. Because there's something different about like when you have other people like singing your song and then ministering, you know, like, for example, if I'm not singing the song and someone else is singing the song and they're getting ministered, or the church is being ministered, you know, I've had several churches tell me that they're doing the song. There's such an impact on that, I think, personally, because, you know, you just never know like what God can do. You know, if, for example, like 2 or 3 weeks ago, I just found out that the song was, it's like one of the top songs on the KYCC radio in California. I did not know that that was happening. And so like they're playing this worship song on the radio, But at the back end of it, I feel like this year has been a little crazy for me, you know, just because of traveling and then moving and just a whole bunch of things that have been happening. And I've been putting a little pause on like releasing music because there's so many things happening. And I, to be honest with you, just because there's so many things happening, you know, I felt like a little discouraged about like continuing to put out music, which I'm not going to let that stop me. I'm going to keep on doing it. Don't worry. But I'm just being completely vulnerable here. But then I randomly found out that the song is like on the, you know, one of the top songs on the KYCC radio. And God was like, I have not forgotten about you.
So it's like, trending.
Yes. Yeah. So he was like, I have not forgotten about you. Don't like let go of the calling that you have on your life. And so I think that it was just a confirmation. I just had to keep on pushing forward. And last year I went to a conference, and at that time I was like, man, you know, well, I'm going to switch over to my least favorite thing is that. So like, you know, you pour out money and you pour out so much finances and investment and marketing and recording, producing, radio distribution, so many other aspects of the music, like music videos and time flying, car rentals, places to stay, you know, that all kind of comes together. So my least favorite part is spending the money. But I do want to say that there was a time in my life where I was like, man, God, like I'm pouring so much money out to this. And I'm like, because we think about it, you know, like, yes, I'm working full time in the medical field, but then at the same time, I'm pouring this money out. And to be honest with you, it's kind of like I'm still building. I'm still a new artist. I'm building, and it comes in phases. But I went to a conference and someone spoke a word of knowledge over me. They had no idea that I was having this conflict in my mind about like spending finances and, you know, like looking at finances and if I should cut back on videos and cut back on music. But they came up to me and they said, Demas, I want you to know that God is telling you right now that what you are doing is investing in the kingdom of God, not into this physical world. I lost it. I was like, I started crying out to God. And then I vowed from that moment, God, I want to give myself 200% more than what I was doing the previous year. And I'm like, God, I'm going to do it by faith. I'm going to invest. And I'm just going to believe that you're going to do something with it. So, but it's just interesting how like God uses people to speak words of knowledge in times of uncertainty. And it's just, you know, still happening today, you know, like the Bible times, you know, people spoke, you know, the prophet spoke to David or, you know, prophets were speaking, but it's just powerful that God sees me where I'm at. And God, you know, I want to encourage everyone that God sees you where you're at. You know, God has not forgotten you. He's working. You know, you may not like in a play or like a show, you might not see what's going on behind the scenes, all the chaos that's bringing together the beautiful picture in the front. But, you know, I just want to encourage someone right now that God is working behind the scenes, even when you cannot see it.
That is so true. You know, as I'm listening to you sharing, you know, that you'd have been saying, Lord, you know, I'm investing so much. And at the point where you felt, I know you weren't going to give up, but, you know, it's like, what is happening that your song is trending? And maybe about last year or the year before, I remember this video going viral, and it's a gospel artist from Jamaica who did this song. It's entitled "It's a Beautiful Day," and there is this gentleman, he called himself the Kiffness. He saw the video where the student was in elementary school, or we'll say primary school at the time, and his teacher recorded him singing this song, uploaded it on YouTube. 10 years later, the Kiffness did a remix of the song. It went viral. The youngster who did it at the time is now in high school. And, you know, the original singer, both have now signed a new record label. I think it was Sony or one of those major recording label. So, you know, sometimes you do something and it seems as if nothing is happening. But at the right time, God has a way of just turning things around.
Yeah, definitely. So,
It's good that, you know, you were able to be encouraged at that particular moment in your time. In terms of advice, and I'll do it two ways. One is, you know, what is maybe the best advice you have been given? And after you have done that, you know, what advice would you give to someone who is, you know, contemplating going into music production as well?
I think the one of the best advice regarding music that I've been given is perfecting or continually sharpening your craft. You know, I've taken lessons, songwriting lessons, I've taken voice lessons, piano lessons, you know, and I'm still, you know, songwriting with my songwriting teacher. I'm still doing all that kind of things. I'm collaborating with other writers. So it's always like trying to like better yourself. And I think that one thing is, before I found the producer that I work with now, his name is Landry Cantrell from California. Before that, I tried another producer and I was just like, man, I just don't feel like he knows my sound. But finding somebody that knows the sound that you want and like being connected with somebody who knows what you're looking for, it's been such a blessing to have that. Like I can give him a song and he already knows what it's supposed to sound like. It's been such a blessing to have that in my life. So finding somebody like a producer that knows your sound, continue perfecting your craft, take lessons, take songwriting lessons, voice lessons, piano lessons, just better yourself continually to better yourself. Because I feel like the biblical saying is so true when it comes to being faithful in the small things, God will make you ruler of greater things. It's a fact too, for all things, you know.
The word is perfect your craft, always
yes.
Better yourself. And it's so relevant because we use, you know, software nowadays, and every time you are getting a message that you need to update this app, and you may ask, you know, why do I need to update? Because there are viruses that will come and compromise
yes.
your system, you know. So it's the same. If you remain stagnant, then you're going to be left behind, you know, you become irrelevant. You become obsolete.
Yeah.
So it applies in the spiritual sense as well. I want to ask about, would say, upcoming projects. So, you know, what is coming up on the horizon for you? Do you have any upcoming shows? Also, you know, where are you headed next in terms of your own goals, aspirations for the future?
Right now I'm working with Sharon, my PR representative, which I'm so thankful for her and her opportunities that she's opened up for me. We're trying to get together some more shows this year because I think previous years I focused more on like radio releases and trying to build like a fan base. But then this year, it's interesting you asked that question because I've been feeling that God has been leading me to put actual tour dates or actual like travel dates. But I have had the opportunity to minister in other churches out of state. Whenever I do go out, I do help out. When I was in El Salvador, I was helping out a church with music there. And then on my way back home, I stopped in Illinois and they were able to have me lead worship there. So there were opportunities here and there. And then I'm also leading worship 2 times a week at my church. And then I'm getting invited to different events around the area at times. So I think where I'm headed to is I need to, my vision is traveling out a little bit more. Setting more dates and being a little bit more aggressive with my song releases. I think the last time I released a song was the Spanish version of Come Holy Spirit in November. It's been a while. I literally have like 7 songs that need to be released, but I need to just put the work behind it because it not only is it the release of the song, it's marketing and projecting the song out and then graphics and all that other stuff. So there's more to it than just putting a song out. So, but yeah, that's where I'm headed.
Yes, we'll say aggressive marketing. Yeah,
yes.
And I know you're not aggressive by nature, but you know, it's about flooding the airwaves or, you know, flooding the market with whatever you're doing. Because, you know, that's it for real. When you do something and you pause, people think, oh, okay, is it that he has stopped, he has given up? But when you are constantly putting out, they realize, okay, yes, you are serious about what you are doing. As we transition towards, you know, the end soon, you know, how can our listeners get in touch with you? So if they want to connect, I know you have YouTube, I know you have IG and so on, but, you know, how can listeners get, you know, what is your YouTube link, that kind of a thing? Do you have a website?
That's another thing that we're working on, you know, an official website. But right now, like, I'm available through Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube. It's called Dimas Cortez Music. So that's one thing that I'm able to, people are able to like reach out to me through there. And then also through PR relations. So there's various ways that we can reach out to me as well.
Well, I just want to say, Dimas, it has really been a pleasure getting to interface with you and getting to learn so much more about you, not just to hear the voice, but to have a face attached to the voice. We have been speaking with Dimas Cortez. He's a gospel recording artist, and he also works as a nurse practitioner. So he provides healing to us in so many different ways. Just going to recap one or two things that we have discussed before we close off. So for Dimas, he grew up in LA, California. He's the last of five siblings. And he has shared with us that he was introduced to the faith by his youth pastor during a time when it was very important because, you know, he would have had challenges with his own biological father. But despite being introduced to Christ, you know, as youngsters, sometimes we become rebellious. But God did ensure that he did not continue along that path, but he was able to fully turn his life around. And now he's recording. And sometimes we think, you know, it's too late, but less than 5 years ago, he started putting out music. And today he has several songs that he has released. So the key thing he wants us to understand is that God wants us to use whatever gifts and talents we have. But one of his advice to us is, you know, perfect your craft. Always better yourself. So Dimas, as it's customary on this show, before we go, do you have any parting words to share with our listeners?
I'm just so thankful to have this opportunity to share with you just part of my story. And one thing that I want to leave everyone with, you know, no matter how broken or how impossible a situation may seem, God can always turn something around for his good, for his glory, and make the most wicked thing, you know, like he can turn it around for good and for his glory. So I just want to encourage someone, you know, if you're out there dealing with any situation, you know, God is able to reach out and speak to you. And finding a mentor is so important. It's somebody that's accountable to you, to keep you straight with the Lord. And it's a beautiful thing. So thanks again. Thank you so much for the opportunity.
God can turn your situation around. You've been in tune to Upward Way. Do join us again next week when we'll have another interesting guest sharing his or her story of faith. Subscribe to weekly episodes on the Apple, AWR, Loud Voice, Spotify, or Stitcher apps. You're also welcome to visit Upward Way Facebook page, click like, and leave a comment. And if you feel impressed to donate to the ministry, you're more than welcome to do so. Until then, I'm Marlon Walters saying goodbye. May God bless you.
You've been listening to the Upward Way podcast, the number one audio production show for people who want encouragement and reassurance in a muddled world.